brain drain the flow of the brightest people from their home countries, usually to more developed countries, which provide better payment, better wages, has been a continuing lure. It's bad news for the home country, and many developing countries are now working to turn the tide back. One doctor who's been working to find ways to stop brain drain is Dr. Richard Olds. He's a tropical disease specialist from the United States, and he has extensive experience across the world, especially in Africa and Asia, and he's now based in Grenada in the West Indies. And this is his take.
It's a complicated feature. We have some short-term problems where we have physician shortages, and those shortages have largely been filled by doctors from around the world. On the other hand, we have to recognize that at some point, those same countries need doctors themselves. They have an even greater doctor shortage than we have. And so we have to try to come to some sort of balance between satisfying our domestic needs and making sure that the countries that are actually training these physicians get physicians in return, or at least that they get the monetary compensation that they invested in those young doctors early in their training.
Key to all this, I imagine, would be to address the reasons why they leave in the first place.
Well, yes, in part, but also recognize that there is a growing, not only demand, but a growing opportunity for delivering healthcare throughout the world. So even in countries that have fairly sophisticated healthcare systems, there is still a fairly significant gradient of physicians coming to countries that clearly pay physicians more and for which they...
Like which one? Which ones are you referring to?
Well, for instance, Philippine healthcare system, Korea and Malaysia, et cetera, are, you know, fairly sophisticated healthcare systems. And yet there's still a gradient of physicians that wish to train and ultimately practice in Europe and in the United States. Part of that is because of the professional opportunities, the thought that this is where the cutting edge in medicine is taking place. But part of it is also monetarily.
I have a friend from my native Uganda who tells me that as a doctor, his biggest problem was the fact that he couldn't find the facilities. So he argued that if the facilities had been there, he was willing to sacrifice monetary benefits so that he could stay as a doctor in Uganda.
There are opportunities to train doctors well and have them return. In our own case, in Grenada, we train a large number of U.S. citizens to become physicians in the United States. In fact, we're the largest provider of physicians to the United States. On the other hand, we've trained a very significant percentage of the doctors in Trinidad, in Botswana, in Grenada as well. But we've obviously been able to train successfully physicians in a sophisticated environment that includes clinical training in the UK and the United States, and they have returned to practice and take leadership positions in their own country. So part of it is providing a pathway to do that, and I'll also say a financial obligation, since many of those students trained in our university on scholarship from their home country. If a country like Uganda spends the money to train a physician, if that physician goes and then comes and lives the rest of their professional career, let's say, in the United Kingdom, I think we should find some way that that individual could at least repay his education so that Uganda could train another individual that would eventually stay and practice there. So I think it does require some international collaboration to make sure that there's a certain amount of fairness in the training and ultimate practice location of physicians.
That's Dr. Richard Olds speaking to me from London not too long ago.